Night of Power. Are we ready to go? Who's ready? Who's hungry? Who needs a breakthrough? Who's beside someone who needs a breakthrough? Okay, good. All right. I want to talk tonight about one aspect of Jesus' ministry that really has been talked about a lot in the New Testament. It's sort of dropped off in some churches, but it's one of the things that Jesus said: when this happens, it shows that the kingdom of God is amongst you, and it's deliverance from demons. And we've had quite a lot of this, particularly this year. It feels like that God's just been really ramping up the level of his power, and lots of people are getting set free. And so I want to kind of help destigmatize it a little bit. I want to help us understand it a little bit. And I also want to help us, when you get free, how to stay free. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, you need to either be free or stay free. I know, too much turning to your neighbor. Sorry about that. Acts 10 verse 38 says this: how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So it's the mark of Jesus' ministry. He healed people. He taught about the kingdom of God. He mentored or discipled his up-close disciples, and he delivered people from demons. That was kind of one of the things he did. In fact, so much so that when he rose from the dead, one of the ones who was first to see him was Mary Magdalene, and she was known as the one whom he'd driven out seven demons. Now, I don't know how that went, whether it was like, you know, if it was like, it was over 7 days, or it was just one moment, but someone counted that there were seven that got out of her. And so that was kind of, and that wasn't a shame thing. That was like a mark that she'd been set free by God. So if you get set free and demons get off your life or come out of you, you get delivered, it's not a shame thing. It's a like, Jesus set me free. This is awesome. It's not, let's move on from that. So demons, just to help us a little understanding, demons are created beings, they're fallen angels. One third of angels fell from heaven, became demons, which is already good news, because it tells you that the light side is two thirds and the dark side is one third. So they're already outnumbered. Okay, just let's not be fearful. They're disembodied spirits. A demon can only be in one place at one time. God's in everywhere via his Holy Spirit, but a little demon can only be in one place at one time. Their goal is to deceive people, then to defile people, and then to destroy people. If you're writing it down, that's something good to write down. To deceive. So I talked last week about how the enemy, if you go fishing, what you do is you find some bait, you put it on the hook because you want to catch the fish. And so you put the bait on the hook that's attractive to the fish, you hide it, you put it in the water, an expert fisherman, which I'm not, but some of you probably are, picks the time of day and the right bait for the right fish, puts it on the hook, puts it in the water, and when the fish eats the bait, does it taste good? It does. Delicious, exactly. It loves it. But there's a hook on there. And that's what the devil does with people. The devil tempts us with sin that for a moment is a good experience. For a moment, it's tasty. For a moment, it's like, oh, awesome. But then suddenly we realize that we've been deceived, because now the enemy wants to defile us, or the Bible talks about entrapment, wants to entrap us so that we're now slaves to that sin. And after a while, now that we're on the hook, now that we're kind of locked in, the whole point is now to defile us so we're unclean, and eventually to destroy us. That's the whole strategy of the enemy. And the Bible says, let's not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. The way that he gets into the enemy, the way that little demons or big demons get into our life, there's two major ways. There's a number of ways, but two major ways. The first one is sin. So when we sin or we violate God's principles and morals of the world, it opens the door so that the devil can legally come into our life and possess us or control us or harass us. That open door, it could be anything from sexual sin, unforgiveness, bitterness. It could be something that's happened from generations before where they've sinned and now it gets passed on from generation to generation. It could be we've opened the door by engaging with the demonic realm. It could be what we've seen, what we've said, what we've been involved in. And so that open door allows the enemy access into our life. And even though someone might pray for us to be free, if we don't repent, then that thing's got a legal right to be in our world. And then if it comes back and we keep sinning, it can come back. It's got a legal right to come back. It's like an annoying cat that just keeps running into your house because you've left the cat door open. You can keep throwing it out. You know, I remember we once had a stray from the neighbors. A tomcat would come in and it would run into our house and it would howl at our cats and it just kept coming back. And the reason it kept coming back is because there was an open door. So, because I won't tell you what I did, but we got rid of it. It went for a swim in the pool on the way out, which it didn't really like, and it didn't come back again. But you just got to, so sometimes the sin has got to be dealt with, repented, the door's got to be closed. Then the other major way, one sin, the other major way is trauma. And trauma can be because of somebody else's sin to us, and because of a traumatic event. Whether it can be abuse, emotional, physical, sexual, it can be abandonment, it can be betrayal, it can be an accident, it can be something that happened to us that opens us up, like particularly emotionally opens us up, and it becomes an access point into our life. And then not only do we need healing emotionally, and not only do we need to learn to think differently and even some behavioral strategies, which is what you can get from counseling, behavioral strategies, new thinking, and you can get healed and pain can be released. But ultimately, if it's a spirit, no amount of counseling or medication will change your life. It's got to be evicted. I love the word Jesus said that he drove out demons out of people's lives. And so the way to get a demon out that's come from trauma is, first of all, we've got to forgive. Because often when traumas happen to us, we've been betrayed or abandoned or rejected, or people have said harsh things about us. Often we, because of that and the entrance point of that spirit, we end up holding on to unforgiveness and being bitter about it. Right. And that bitterness is kind of like what feeds the enemy. That's food for him. And so that bitterness, again, gives legal right for that thing to stay. And if we want to shift it, we've got to make a choice to forgive, not because we feel it, but we make a choice to forgive. Once that's done, then we can be set free. So there's your two majors. Sin or trauma are the two major things where the enemy will come into our life. The fruit of having an evil spirit, either in us or on us, they can be in us. And literally, I mean, the worst case is when it actually controls people. And so where horrific things are done and you go, that's not really a human, that's inhumane. Yeah. You just got to watch the news and see some stuff and you go, that's just not, a human being couldn't do that to another human being. Well, they're driven and controlled by a spirit, okay, that's got access in their life. But you don't have to be controlled by a demon or possessed by a demon to have one that's attached to your soul that you've got to get rid of, or just sitting on your shoulder. So that they can be in you or on you, and it doesn't. The big deal is not whether they're in you or on you, but the fruit of it is usually in three areas. One is your thoughts, one is your emotions, and one is physically. So if you've got a demon on your shoulder bombarding you with thoughts, it's like your brain won't be able to be still. Your brain and your thoughts can be anything from you know, it's a bombardment. It's like you're thinking it's you, but it's not. This thing's just either from within or on your shoulder, and it's critical thoughts, a racing mind, self-hatred, guilt, lust, and there's a bombardment of thoughts that's not normal, and so that's usually one of the fruits of a demon in our life. Another fruit, we're doing okay. We're going to be able to get free soon. I just want to help you understand. Another is emotionally. Emotionally, a heavy depression, a fear, a panic, or rage, or a hatred. This is another sign, and it's overtaken our heart emotionally. Or it comes and goes. Not there all the time, but comes and goes. Another is physical. So it's like the devil, if you're a Christian, the devil can't live in your spirit because you're one with Christ. But he comes at your soul, and comes at your physical body. And that physical body might be a sickness. Might be an affliction, it could be pain. It could be that you find yourself with no energy. And it's a demonic spirit, like holding you down. Or actually another thing demons will do is energize people towards sin. And you're like, mate, how did they go partying all night for 3 days in a row? Well, I'm gonna tell you, it could be drugs, but often it's a demon energizing people towards sin. And that's one of the things the enemy will do. So it could be thoughts, bombardment, emotions, overwhelm, physical. Could be in us, could be on us. And so here's the good news is you and I have authority to cast them out. When you come to Christ, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said he called his 12 disciples and gave them authority to drive out impure or unclean spirits, another name for demons, and to heal every disease and sickness. So we have authority. Now, here's the good news. You can pray for yourself to get free from demons. Danielle shared at the conference about a moment when she was preparing and was felt overwhelmed with fear and panic and ended up praying for herself and laid hands on herself and in the name of Jesus cast out a demon, and she literally felt it choking her and then coughed it up. So that's you can do that yourself. Maybe go near a mattress in case you get slain in the spirit, but you know. You have authority to pray. I pray for myself, and we'll get to this a bit later. Or someone else can pray for you. And here's the amazing thing. I pray for numerous people, and in a moment when they've just recognized that I've got a bombardment of this or these thoughts of insecurity, inferiority, whatever it might be, critical thoughts, forgive or repent, and in a moment, just okay, we break that in Jesus' name. No feeling, no shuddering, no screaming, but different. So not every demon comes out with a shriek. Sometimes it's just like it's been sitting on your shoulder, bam, 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 blah, 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 in your ear. And we just take authority, boom, it goes. All right? And it's no big... But then the next day, you're like, oh my gosh, my brain's calmed down. These thoughts are different. I'm not being controlled anymore. So that can be the way. Sometimes there is, and this is when something's really got inside of you and control got a bit more in you. And again, you can be the beautifulest, nicest person in the world, but still have a demon. Turn your saber and nay. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's okay if you've got one, we're going to get rid of it. Come on, it's okay. There's a few of you looking straight ahead. I'm trying to make this not weird, but maybe that's just making it more weird. Is that making it more weird? Okay, thank you. Thanks for the feedback. So if it's in you, what our prayer is, Holy Spirit, come and fill this person with your love. And then if we've got to repent or forgive, we do that. Just a quick decision, doesn't have to be ours. Just I make a decision to forgive this person. I make a decision to ask forgiveness for this thing. Then we take authority over it and we just say, go. Now, sometimes it wasn't a demon. You just are getting some healing in your heart as the Holy Spirit fills you. Sometimes it just goes. You don't feel different, but you are different. But sometimes it does what we call it manifests. It starts to like, oh, no, I like it here. I've been here a while and I like controlling this person because my job description is to destroy, to thief and rob and destroy. So sometimes it gets agitated and it, what we would call manifests, and a person can start shaking different to the power of God or start screaming. And usually when I'm praying for someone or when we're praying for someone, I want to ask, what are you feeling? Is it good or bad? Because if you're feeling good, then it's just the power of God and someone's shaking under the power of God. That's awesome. But if it's feeling like tight, or some people can actually feel a demon, like it's getting sorer here, it's getting sorer here, or I can hardly breathe, you know. And I usually just say we partner with God setting us free, and I'll just usually encourage someone, I'll just right now just breathe out. And just by faith, breathe in the Holy Spirit and breathe out. Sometimes I'll just say, I want you to cough. And that's just because here's the thing, we have to partner with God to get free. And your will, the devil doesn't control your will. So your will is, I'm going to get free. Get out. And someone's praying in the name of Jesus. And it doesn't matter, a bit of yelling, a bit of screaming. That happened to Jesus all the time. It said the demon came out with a loud shriek. We're not going to put that on Instagram. We're not going to glorify that. But that, and some people do, and I'm not into it. I don't think that's cool. I think we want to give people dignity. But to understand that getting free, if it feels a bit weird at the time, don't worry about it. It's okay because on the other side is freedom. Make sense? That's what we want. So breathe it out, cough it out. So let's stand to our feet because we're going to actually do a little bit of helping some people right now get free. If you're new to church, welcome. This stuff's real. Like, We have a Harry Potter generation who know that there's an unseen spiritual realm that's real. And when you start playing with it, hoping that it's going to be fun and powerful, then it opens the door for that thing to get in and control you. And that's why God wants us to actually understand there is a dark side that masquerades as light, but it ends up controlling. So this week, the Holy Spirit, don't cough out loud too much right now, Emily. That's awesome. It's all good. There's a verse in the Bible that I read this week, and the Lord spoke to me and said, this is what I'm going to do this week for a number of people. Psalm 27, verse 10, it says, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Even if my father and mother abandon me, and abandonment is a trauma in our lives. And often it doesn't matter what the intention was, but when a parent who's supposed to be a representative of God to bring love and kindness and stuff into our world abandons us, whether it's through divorce, whether sometimes it can even be through death, and we still blame them, but I feel abandoned. And so that trauma in people can often create, obviously, emotional pain, and that's something that the Holy Spirit can heal. It can also, however, be an access point to a demonic spirit, and I'm not so much worried about what we call it. It's just a demonic spirit. Some people call it an orphan spirit, whatever, but that thing, and then what that does, once it controls us, it affects us mentally with lies like you're not good enough, you're not worthy of being loved. If they ran away on you, that's because of your worth, that's because of your value. And so this gets into our psyche, but also our heart comes a sadness, and am I lovable, or can I have a relationship with somebody else because they might be going to abandon me. This becomes the cycle of abandonment in a person's life. It can happen when a spouse or even a boyfriend or girlfriend just suddenly breaks off and abandons, and there's this feeling that I did something wrong, and that's the lie, and Jesus wants to come and set us free from that. Now, here's the thing. At the cross, Jesus paid the price for every sin, pain in our life, okay? He experienced it personally. So there was a moment at the cross where the Father abandoned Jesus, and he took all the judgment of the world on himself. And in that moment, he cried out with this haunting cry, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? And God let him feel all of that so that you and I could get healing and freedom, because at the cross, whatever Jesus went through was for a purpose, and for one of them is that. So we're going to open up the altar in a moment, and if this is you, it's not a demonic spirit, all you need is just a fresh touch of the love of God. And the love of God's going to pour in. I want the ministry team to come right now. Maybe it is a spirit, and as we pray for you, it's going to start to kind of manifest as we pray. That's okay as well. Maybe it's just a mindset that's going to shift. But if this is you, come on down the front right now. You're like, I can relate to that. That relates to my life, my circumstance. I've been abandoned by a mother, a father, a partner, someone who should have looked after me in life, and we're going to begin to pray. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray. The power of God's here. The healing power of God's here. Robo ribiri basho. Robo ribiri asha. Burama ribiri sho. Robo lata. Lord Jesus, we thank you who the Son sets free is free indeed. We thank you that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to us. Lord, that we're driving out unwanted spirits, unwanted harassment. We don't have to stand for them. We're living free by the power and the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. You can grab your seat. God bless you. I will grab my pulpit with my notes. Thank you, guys. You're like, do we ever not pray for stuff? No, we always do, because we live in a fallen world where there's stuff happens. If you're here tonight and you've never actually begun a relationship with God, You and I were created for a relationship with God. That's the reason he put us on this planet, to love him and to know him. And to, the Bible says that he wants us to have an abundant life, an amazing life. That's the God who created us. The other guy, he wants to rip us off and destroy us and let us get living in fear and anxiety and depression and selfishness and all this stuff that ends up destroying us. But God wants you to live in a life of abundance with his love and his joy in your world. So I want us just to close our eyes right now. If you're here tonight, you don't have a relationship with God, before we go any further, this is the greatest miracle that we could ever have. Receiving Jesus, receiving his forgiveness. When he died on that cross, it was to wipe out all of your sin and my sin, all the stuff we've done wrong. He's paid a price for us. So if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with God yet, tonight's your night. All you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my life. Please forgive me. And he'll fill you with his presence and his love and his peace. If there's been a moment where you walked with God and you had a relationship with God, but you don't anymore, you drifted away from him. You probably didn't stop believing in God, but you know you just drifted away from him, got caught up in a lifestyle that's wrong. And you know it. And tonight you feel yourself being drawn back to him. I want to lead you in a prayer to connect with God. So right now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask, if you're saying, John, I want a relationship with God, or I want to come back to God because I'm away from him. Or maybe you're just not sure when you die if you're going to go to heaven. I want you to be absolutely sure. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask in a moment, if you're saying, that's me, I want to begin a relationship with God, something's missing, I want to come back to God because I drifted away, or I want to be sure I'm going to heaven, would you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me. Awesome, man. That's awesome. I see your hand. Who else right now? You're saying, that's me. I want to get right with God tonight. I want to come back to God tonight. I want to reconnect with him. If that's you, just raise your hand up real high. I'll be sure I'm going to heaven, and we're going to pray together in a moment. We're going to pray. All right, awesome. I want us to pray together. And this young man, you raised your hand. I want you to pray. We're going to join you. Say these words after me, guys. Dear God in heaven, I thank you that you love me, that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for me, for my sin. I'm sorry. I've lived my way. And I'm turning to you tonight to follow you with all my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me for my sin. I thank you tonight I am forgiven. I'm cleansed and I'm born again. I'm going to heaven in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Awesome. God bless you. Fantastic. Good moment. Good moment. That's the best thing that we can do in our lives. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. I want to take about 10 to 15 minutes right now to talk about, okay, if you get free from an evil spirit, and many people have over the last few months, and I know people listening to this podcast have got free, and even tonight you got set free from something. Sometimes you don't feel it, you just feel the after effects that you're better, you're lighter, it's gone. Other times you know, I feel lighter. Oh my gosh, it's gone. So what do you do once it's gone? Because Jesus said in Matthew 12, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I'll return to the house I left. Uh-oh. And when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept, clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. The final condition of that person is worse than the first. This is how it will be with this wicked generation. Okay, this is specifically talking about people who aren't saved because they're empty. And so to get someone free from a demon, but then they don't give their life to Christ and don't get right with Christ, then now the house is empty and it can come back with seven things, all right? So, however, the principle is the same for believers. Okay, when we get free from something, it's a disembodied spirit. It's kind of goes away for a while and it will try and come back. And so you and I have got to be aware of that. And I want to just tell you quickly five things to do when you've been healed, when you've been delivered, or when you've been going after something and you haven't broken through yet, but things get worse. Because that's what also happens. And I know lots of people get healed and then they have an encounter with God and then the next couple of weeks they get slammed. That's because the enemy's a sneaky so-and-so and he wants to come after you. But be forewarned, we can overcome that. So the first thing to do is to get filled with the Holy Spirit. So we've been emptied of something, there's a gap there, let's get filled. And the way you do that is pray in tongues. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. That means build themselves up. So if you want to, you got free and you want to stay free, shakam ru shaka. It's a gift of speaking in tongues. Keep make it a daily habit. Just keep speaking and talking to the Holy Spirit and say, you're the only spirit I want inside of me, Holy Spirit. So make it a, you know, set a timer and go pray in tongues for 15 minutes every day and put worship music on. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's Ephesians 5:18 says that. Be filled. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The way you do that is by singing and speaking in tongues. And it actually goes on and says giving thanks to God. So thank you, God, you set me free. Thank you, God, I'm lighter. Thank you, God, that's no more harassing me. Rambu shaka, I'm worshiping you, Lord. So be filled. The after effects of being delivered from a demon and a conference or a high, it might last a week. But then you got to own it. It's up to you now to own it and to keep it. Or if you're going after it, keep going after it by being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing. The next thing is you got to declare the truth. Okay, because your mind, often if you've had a spirit and it's been harassing your mind has got certain ways of thinking about yourself, about people, about other things. And so now we've got to actually retrain our mind to think according to the Word of God. We've got to declare the truth. When Jesus was encountering the enemy, he said, it is written. Declare the truth. So let me just give you a simple example. At conference, a number of people, particularly girls, were prayed for about exes who'd said stuff that really tore them down, and people got set free and got delivered. So, okay, that's awesome. I've been set free. I've got delivered. Now what do I do? Well, I'm getting filled with the Holy Spirit. That's one. But now I've got to actually retrain. Because my brain, because of what it's been said and then what that spirit's been saying, has been thinking I'm useless, I'm ugly, I'm worthless, whatever it might be. Even if it's not really conscious, it's under there. So we've got to retrain our brain. And the way we retrain our brain is with the Word of God. So we pull out Psalm 139, just as an example. It says, I praise you, God, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Doesn't matter what's been said in the past. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All my days have been ordained. Goes on and says, how precious to me are your thoughts. How vast is them? So you just start to go, oh, I'm going to declare new things. It's just, again, I'm declaring God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm worthy of love. I'm worthy of your love. Your thoughts are towards me all the time. And you just keep speaking that word and reprogramming your mind to think along with the truth. Because when the enemy bombards your mind, it's not the truth, it's lies. So we got to reprogram our mind. That can be in a whole lot of different areas. The word is a sword to come against him. That's number two. Number three, okay, I've got to avoid sin. I've got to live clean. Because if I was living unclean, that opened the door. Now I've got to make some changes in my life. When a man got healed by Jesus, he'd been at the gate of Bethesda, John chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus found him in the temple and said, see, you are well again. Good news. Now stop sinning or something worse might happen to you. So the grace of God has set you free, set me free. But now I've got to actually go, all right, Jesus, I'm gonna live in a lifestyle that is friendly to the Holy Ghost, friendly to the Word of God, so that I'm not actually going away and reopening the door. I've got to live clean. It's a good saying is if you've got rats in your basement, you can get someone in and get rid of the rats. But if you keep the rubbish downstairs in the basement, the rats are gonna come back. So you don't just need to get rid of the rats, demons, you've got to get rid of the rubbish lifestyle. Got to clean up. Is that cool? Live clean. Number four, got to learn to resist the devil. Okay, this is you. You have the authority as a Christian to resist the devil. James chapter 4 verse 7 says, submit yourselves then to God. That means like, okay, God, I'm aligning to your lordship and the way you want me to live your life. I'm submitting to the right way of living. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, this is resist the devil is different to be delivered. So the devil, he's like going to come knocking on your door with thoughts or temptation or impurity or old thoughts. And he's knocking on the door. And what we've got to get good at is not, opening the door or falling for the old temptation, but is, now I resist you. I would do this every day. It's part of my prayer life. I would literally, because Jesus talked about this in the Lord's Prayer. It's like, forgive us of our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. So, okay, I'm closing the door. Forgive me of my sin every day. Because the Lord's Prayer is a daily prayer. He said, this is when you pray, pray that you give me my daily bread. So we know it's the kind of pattern for us to pray every day. Forgive me for my sin. Help me. What did I do, Lord? I repent straight away. Close that door. I forgive those who've hurt me. Close that door. Keep it closed every day. Short accounts with people. And then he goes on and prays, Lord, lead me not into temptation. So this is a prayer to pray. God, keep me from temptation. Keep me from the old ways and deliver us from the evil one. This is a daily prayer. So if you're not praying on a daily basis, I resist the enemy. So I would literally look in my prayer room, look out the window every day, and I'll just come against about five demonic spirits I know I've been set free from, but they want to come back and harass me. I come against every day. Intimidation, you've got no place in my life. I resist you in Jesus' name. This simple, not much, no longer than that. So if you've struggled with anxiety and fear every morning after you've prayed and worshiped, in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of fear. You've got no right here. You've suffered from depression. I'm not coming under a spirit of heaviness. Go in Jesus' name. You rise up on the inside. The warrior of God on the inside takes authority. It's a spiritual warfare zone. Take authority. I resist the devil. And the last thing we do, so that's four, resist the devil. Number five is this. Sometimes you've got to get some new habits. Because it's not just stopping the old habits. So Paul writes to Timothy, he says, 2 Timothy 2 verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. I found that youthful lusts don't just be for the young. Youthful lusts follow old people around as well. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those. Everybody say with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So when you're running away from an old way of doing life that's allowed the enemy into your world, you've got to go, okay, I'm going to flee. I'm going to run away from all the places where that lifestyle used to be and those people. I'm running as fast as I can so I don't get caught up with that. And what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to seek God and God's ways. 100, I'm all in. And the way I'm going to do it is with those who are seeking God. I'm going to come to revival prayer with those who are seeking God. I'm going to go to Connect Group with those who are seeking God. I'm going to go to Christian Essentials with those who are seeking God. I'm going to get around some believers. And you know, the early church believers, every day. They met every day for prayer. They met every day in the temple and from house to house. If you want to get free from the, you got to make a change. Every day. Every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Sometimes you're like, oh, I just want to have a balanced life. Well, sometimes a balanced life leads to getting sucked back into your old lifestyle. Sometimes you got to flip the balance to be all in so that you can be free and stay free. Does that make sense? But get into that. Or you know what? Sometimes the new habit, you got healed of a demon that was causing a problem in your body, but now you've got to get exercising to get strong. It's a new habit. It's not like if only God could automatically grow my muscles on the altar call. Wouldn't that be good? But that's not how he works. He goes, I'll set you free from the pain, but you've got to, okay, that was harsh, wasn't it? So that's five things. Five things. We're praying, we get filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues and worshiping. We declare the truth. We declare the word of God. It's a sword. Number three, we avoid sin. We change our habits so that we're no longer caught up in the same crowd, the same things. If we have to delete some social media because it sucks us back into an old life, we get rid of it. We just do what it takes to avoid sin. We resist the devil. We rise up and resist him, and then we get some new habits going. With those, we hang around with those who are on fire. You want to get on fire? Hang around with those who are on fire. You want to live free? Hang around with those who live free. All right, let's stand to our feet right now. Just for a couple of minutes, why don't we begin to speak in tongues? If you speak in tongues, just begin to.